Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're doing our Christmas special, plus some Alex and Drew rank the MCU, and we're talking a little bit about Marvel Snap. Let's go.
I'm pumping my arms in the air, and I realize there's no video.
Huzzah!
I know. I'm talking through the intro music.
Yeah, that's fine.
It makes the people feel like it's live, like
yeah,
they're here with
live.
Us.
This is a radio show.
Welcome to W2MAN.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas if you celebrate. And we're here with our last episode that you'll hear us before Christmas.
Yep.
Unless you don't hear this before Christmas.
We're recording our last episode before Christmas, I think. I don't know. I don't know how time works.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we'll probably record next week before Christmas, but
okay.
I doubt that they will hear it before then.
Yes. Maybe we should just say the last episode released.
Ah, that's a better way to say it. Today is
the 15th.
The 15th of December in the year 2022,
mm-hmm.
correct? Not yes. 23, right?
No, it's 2022.
I really am getting worse at time as I get older. Does it get worse than that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like the other day.
The other day?
The other day I woke up. And Katie was home sick. She took the day off.
That's too bad.
And I thought, I was like, you know what? At least it's Saturday, so we can go get some donuts. And it was Tuesday morning. Yeah. It was like not even close. Like Tuesday and Saturday, about as opposite as it gets.
Yeah.
It's just, that's how my early 30s are going.
Yeah. I've gotten into the groove of my class at NWAC being on Monday and Wednesday.
Yeah.
And yesterday, I just felt lost.
Yeah, you didn't know what to do with your hands.
Yeah.
Just walk around with them up in the air.
Yeah.
Wave them like you just don't care.
I do that anyway.
Awesome.
I was doing it during the intro.
Yeah, I saw.
Yeah.
We have an exciting episode today. It's not exactly all comic books, but we're going to talk about a game that is related to the comic books, specifically the Marvel comics, Marvel Snap, and also we watched Avengers Age of Ultron for our Alex and Drew Rank the MCU segment. And we have thoughts for sure, especially coming after two bangers in the MCU with Captain America Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. So have some thoughts, have rankings, and we are just past the penultimate film of Phase 2 of the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
But first, so in the past, we've always tried to celebrate Christmas the only way that two comic fans can. Two-man comic fan cans. And we've done like a Christmas exchange of comic books. Now, this year we had to dial way back because Drew and I, if you've been listening recently, are buffoons and took several hiatus throughout the year and just didn't have enough time to plan everything. So Drew and
also,
I are...
Also, I want to apologize to anybody who's listening that we didn't get our ducks in a row early enough to get a two-man Secret Santa like last year.
Yes, it will return.
If we come back with it next year, it'll be bigger and better than ever.
Yeah. That doesn't mean you can't buy a comic book fan or a non-comic book fan. They just aren't one yet. A new comic book.
Yeah, buy somebody a comic book. Make it just go upon yourself to be like, hey, I just decided I'm your Secret Santa. Read this comic.
Mm-hmm. If you need help picking a comic, I will help you personally.
Yeah. Join our Discord
ask me.
What to get.
Plenty of recommendations. Single issues that are great.
Links to the Discord down
in
the show notes.
Is it House or Power? It's House of X number one?
Yeah.
Or is it House of X number two with the Cyclops? You know what I'm talking about?
I can't remember.
The Fantastic Four chasing Sabretooth gets in. I can't spoil. Okay.
I can't remember which issue it is.
Whatever it is, I'll find it. It is like a banger of an episode. I'm trying to bring the word banger back
for
my age. It's a banger.
I was going to say that's thrice this episode. That makes four.
Yeah.
Of course,
we'll see.
The last two were just
if we had a video right now, I would do a banger count. Ding. Like come up every time that I say the word. Before we get into talking about Marvel Snap, which I'm super excited to talk about, if you are thinking, oh, they're talking about a stupid game, don't go there yet. Just hear us out. Wait for it. And I'll also stick around. Before we get into that, if you'd like to support this podcast, leaving a review on Apple Podcasts does so much to help. 5-star reviews will get read on the podcast. We'll give you a shout out. Anywhere else you can leave reviews goes a long way. And so does just sharing an episode with a loved one or even an enemy.
Yeah.
What about social? Where can they find us on social?
All of these are with the number, the numeral two.
Numero dos.
Two Man Comic Book on Twitter, Two Man Comic Book Club on Instagram and Facebook. If you like what we're doing and want to engage, like I mentioned, we have a Discord link down in the show notes. If you like us even more than that and you are looking for ways to support us, there's a couple things you can do. Number one, you can consider, supporting us by sponsoring our Google Internet Movie Database breaks.
Yes. If you imagine, we Google lots of things during the episodes. Yeah.
And instead of
fact check ourselves,
dead air, I'll sit there and plug your podcast, or not your podcast. Yeah, sure.
Whatever
your podcast,
you got.
Your business. Yeah. Give us, if you want to do that, email us at Drew. Or not, I keep doing that. Email us at Two Man Comic Book Club. That's with the number two at gmail.com. And we will talk you through that. We'll talk about you for five episodes. $5, or you know, more than that if you want.
$1 an episode, man. Like, come on, what else? Just don't have coffee at Starbucks today.
Yeah.
Don't have coffee at Starbucks in general if you have a local coffee shop to support. If you must, though, skip that today and just give us your money.
Yeah.
Also, a second way you can support me specifically, my routing number is 901. Just kidding.
We also have a Patreon. I don't remember if we've mentioned it in a while. It's pretty quiet, but there's a few things I have an idea for, and I think Alex probably does too, of things that we could do to up the ante on that. So anyway, I think that's patreon.com/twomancomicbookclub or twomancomicbookclub.patreon.com. I can't remember which, but yeah, the link is also...
Help us keep the proverbial comic book lights on.
And do not call... 662-MAN-FAN-8, because we don't have that phone number anymore.
One last thing. In the show notes, you will find a link to our Alex and Drew Rank the MCU spreadsheet. You can open that up. You have to make a copy. Like, I think it's file, make a copy, name it something else. And then you can input your own scores and rank the MCU films along with this. It doesn't matter that you aren't caught up. You can do it at your own pace. You can start where we're at and go back later. Mm-hmm. Something tells me one day we'll do it all again. With a revised and updated, stronger than ever spreadsheet, but it's been a lot of fun so far, and it's set up in a way that hopefully it's not too intimidating for you to jump in, look at all the categories. You just rank everything out of 10. All the formulas are there; they're set up. Been a lot of fun for Drew and I to go through and relive the MCU, especially with all the hindsight of what has come after the films, just knowing how they're setting things up. So that's a link in the description for that. Join us, and if we get enough of those. I know there's a handful of people doing it, but if we get a few more, we're going to do an average of everybody's score, and then we'll have like the two-man fan ranking of the MCU. It's going to be pretty cool. But more on that for our Alex and Drew Rank the MCU segment. Screensaver came on.
Well, if you made it through all that, thank you. You must be a true two-man fan.
Let's talk about ourselves.
Yeah, we can move to something else for a second. Alex, before we get to Christmas, what you been reading, yo?
Dude, I have been reading comic books
lately,
like a lot more than I have in a long, long time. Let's see. So I'll save this for you to say too, and just say that I have been reading a DC Black Label book called The Nice House on the Lake. Drew and I actually thought about covering this, and then we read it.
It was it's good.
We liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good. B, we're not sure that short of just reading it to you and like spending hours on each individual issue that we could actually do it justice.
Plus, there's so much about that series that is like twists and turns.
Yes.
And
it would just be like spoiler show day.
It's like somebody sitting, it's not really a horror book. If you look at the covers, it kind of looks like it is.
It has flavor, some spices of that.
But
it is a little spicy depending on your outlook. So you may or may not like that. But
it would be like sitting next to somebody who points out the jump scares and the twists right before they happen in a movie. Like, what fun is that? We would rather you just go and read it yourself. We might talk more about it, give you a little elevator pitch on it, along with a couple other series that we really dig. I'll go ahead and jump in real quick and say that's all I read. So,
But you read several, like, eight or nine issues, right?
I read all of them that are on DC Universe.
Cool. Yeah.
Infinite. Not Ultra.
The expensive one. So I read that. Mm-hmm. I read a new series of Aquaman Andromeda, another DC Black Label here. I'm only one issue into that. I read a bunch of like issue ones of things. There was a new Superman book that I read called Superman what is this called? Space Age. It's like kind of a, from what I can gather, kind of a 60s, not reenactment, but like they're definitely reflecting on what has happened thus far. I think I got about 2 issues worth done out of a trade that I was reading online that I found. And then what else did I have here? I read some more Human Target, which if you've watched in the last couple episodes, you know that I'm a huge fan of. It is staying awesome. Still my favorite book of the year so far. And then as far as Marvel goes, I finished the Iron Man run that Christopher Cantwell did, and then I ran Iron Man number 1 just came out. And I'm super excited to see where that goes. It was a very, very strong episode 1. I think I also read some X-Men Red. Yeah, X-Men Red was another thing I started reading.
Like a current one or like the older
current one? Yeah, okay, not the older one. There's a new X-Men Red. Dave from the Comic Book Herald on his Instagram has been like, looking for one of the best comics of the year, check out this thing. So a lot of these were on his list of things that I checked out. There are a few more that I downloaded and got access to. I feel like there's more. I've just been reading a ton of comic books.
Good for you.
Yeah. Feels real good to not be doom scrolling. There's Marvel Snap reading comic books is what I've been doing.
There's been one particular comic I've been focusing on, but we'll talk about that in the next segment.
Oh, that's exciting. Well, you already told us what you've been reading, yo. So I guess we'll move on to that.
Okay.
I
wish I had a sound effect
exchange time
for some sleigh bells. Sorry.
Ching, 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 ching.
Just hear that two-man Christmas. Ding, ding. That's all because I don't want to get copyright strike. Stop. The estate of Leroy Anderson will sue us into the ground.
Come at us, Leroy.
Yeah.
And your estate.
So, welcome to the two-man Christmas ode portion of today's episode. Sorry, we didn't release a commercial. A little ad for this.
Those are always a lot of work, but they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of work on Drew's part to learn music and just come sing up with it live.
Yeah. I am not a singer.
I'm going to give you mine first.
Okay.
I went the other day when I was getting my updated Human Target stuff and I saw this. I was like, oh, this might be good. I don't know if it's good.
We talked about it. We just agreed to do a single floppy exchange.
Yeah. Alex and Drew.
If you've been with us long
enough,
you
should share their floppies.
You should know that a floppy is like a term for a single comic.
I hope a lot of people didn't know. We got a lot of first time, never read a comic issue.
NC-17.
I hope we didn't get each other the same thing, Larry.
I guarantee we did not.
Okay, cool. I got you issue 1 Miles Morales Spider-Man that is apparently quite exciting.
That is awesome.
I have not even read it. I didn't even like do the thing where you buy for your friend and then read. I just like, no, I'm going to let him have it first.
Awesome.
So here you go, my friend.
Thank you. I don't have any Miles in my catalog, and I don't have very much Spider-Man.
Yeah, let me know what you think. Awesome. Maybe I'll find it online and read it.
I considered giving you my copy of The Death of Spider-Man.
Ah, nice.
But I got a different idea instead.
Uh-huh.
On the drive.
Kind of scared.
I was down in Florida and just had the idea to, well, here, I'll just let you see.
Drew's reaching into his canary backpack.
I wanted to get you a sleeve for it, but the comic shop wasn't open, even though they're supposed to have opened 30 minutes ago.
Oh, nice.
So this is just something I had laying around.
Okay, cool. I'm opening it.
Yes.
This comic book opening is sponsored by...
Oh, I can't think of anything because I'm watching your face.
Wait a minute. Is that me?
Yeah.
The Adventures of Captain 166 and Nostradamus. Well, I wish we were showing video right now so you could see.
Yeah, I got the idea to just make you a comic.
Did you print this yourself?
I printed it. I drew it up in Adobe.
That is so awesome. You're getting
the spoil from the back.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little 16-page story. And by the way, the first I was learning.
You got the lawnmower in my fridge. Yeah,
I was learning to use the program as I did it. So like the first 3 pages, I thought were okay, and then as I actually learned to use the different brushes and everything, it got a little bit more.
Dude, this is awesome. I'm going to read this for sure. We should take a picture of this and put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Or I'll put it on social media.
So, yeah, I made a comic book.
I don't have a cardboard back, but I think I have some sleeves somewhere. I'll put that in there.
It's just a little.
Yeah,
little
this something. Is awesome.
It ended up taking longer than I expected.
And sure,
for the record, the majority of it is traced.
No, I believe it. Yeah.
I tried to draw. You know, there's a lot of hate towards comic creators that trace, but this isn't for financial gain.
You literally, this is like one of the hardest things to do in comic creation, do a whole book by yourself.
Yeah.
There are a lot of dudes like pros that work for the big two. They're like, I couldn't do that.
Yeah. I've been working on it since Sunday. So
quick turnaround too.
Yeah. But you'll look inside. Some of it is better than
it's a
parts.
Number one. So it's expecting a full run.
Oh, I don't know.
Even if it's like a yearly thing.
My hand
hurts
from using the Apple Pencil for so much. But
you'll recover.
It's, but yeah, like I'm just, I looked back at it.
Yeah.
And I actually scripted out beforehand, you know, and I kept revising it as we were going. And if you were to look at it without the pictures, if I just told you the story that happens, you'd be like, that's really kind of dumb. But I tried to get creative with the drawing.
No, I'm excited to read it later. It'll be the first thing I do this evening.
Nice.
Cool.
So Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas, my friend. Let's jump into the main segment. We're going to do some Marvel Snap talk, and then we're going to do some Alex and Drew Rank the MCU. Marvel Snap, if you did not know, is a mobile game. Now you're thinking, guys, stop it. I didn't log on here to listen to you talk about your video games. Marvel Snap is a, let's see, it's kind of like Marvel meets poker meets
Magic.
Magic meets best 2 out of 3. I guess I don't know how to explain it. So basically, this if I were to give you like a quick 60-second catch up on this game,
I love catch up.
Marvel Snap. You start. There's only 6 turns in a match, so they're super easy to just pick up, play a match. It's way better than doom scrolling. And you have a deck of 12 cards that you put together based on different Marvel heroes and villains. Some of them have abilities, some of them don't. There's a cost for playing a card, and then a card has a power. So say like. For instance, Hulk is a very strong card that you start off with in the game. It's a 6 cost, which is a lot of energy in the game, but he has 12 power. So you can play him down. And the goal is that there are 3 locations, all relative to Marvel lore, in the center of the board. You can get like Stark Tower, the Hulk's Gamma Lab, or the sewers, or you know, Central Park, or just all stuff that's been in the Marvel universe. And your goal is to win 2 out of the 3 locations by placing down heroes or villains with more power. And the locations will have effects on your cards. Sometimes the locations will shift, or they'll change how the game plays, or they'll change the effects of cards, or they'll turn your cards into something else. And then, so it creates a lot of variance. And they've done a really good job of, even though you can pay to get ahead, it's not necessarily pay to win. In that, like, you can still be competitive even if you're facing somebody who's spent hundreds of dollars in the game, which is great. It's not how, like, most pay-to-play mobile games, somebody can just be like, oh, I'll spend $100 to get all the best things and just win, and then it's no fun for everybody that's free-to-play. Anyway, us and several of our friends have gotten into it, and, like, I think everybody's having a blast with it still. It actually just won Mobile Game of the Year.
Oh, wow.
And it's only been out for 2.5 months. Super excited to talk about it. If you want to play it, it's available on iOS and Android and in the Steam store, but also you can download, it on Mac if you have an M1 Mac, like one of the newer MacBooks, or you can download it on PC and play and Mac through the, I think it's called BlueStacks. It's like an Android app emulator. So basically it's like you can play those apps, those games on your PC as well. Highly recommend it. Did I miss anything? Oh, yeah, the snap mechanic. Why is it called Marvel Snap? So how it's like poker is that you have 6 turns to win those 2 locations, and you're betting cosmic cubes, which are like the main currency of the game, to leveling up and collecting more cards and upgrading them and getting new stuff. And if you feel like you have a good hand and there's a chance that you're going to win, you snap or click on the cosmic cube, and it ups the ante. It ups your bet. And your opponent can decide, okay, I'm either going to retreat because I don't have a good hand, or like fold like you would in poker, or I'm going to stay in the game and see. And even if I feel like I have a better hand, I can snap back and up the ante even more. So there's a little bit of a mind game, kind of wondering what your opponent's going to play, when, who's going to come out on top, because there can be major swings at the end of the game. Like turn six can completely change who's winning based on whatever has happened in the first five turns. There's special cards like Magic, who creates a limbo space and creates a seventh turn in the game. There's just a bunch of different mechanics. It's impossible for me to just completely go all the way through
I'll
it.
I'll say whenever this first came out, Alex was on like the beta for it or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you about that
and,
in a second.
And he was trying to get me into it. And when he was explaining it at first, I was just like, it could be cool. I don't need a game on my phone. I already do too much. But so I didn't mess with it then. But then once it actually opened to the world, I downloaded it. And it was confusing until it wasn't. And it got a lot better. And it's cool because the games are like 6 minutes max.
Yeah, they're super quick. You don't have to like spend a ton of time. You have daily missions. If you're diligent, you can knock those out in 30 minutes easily, and maybe quicker if you have some really strong games. The way I got early access to it is that they did beta tests in, I think, two South American countries. So I made a Peruvian Apple account. It's not like illegal or anything. You just make it and then you have access to that app store. So I downloaded that app store and then lined out and logged back in. And the only minor annoyance is anytime there was an update, I had to log back into the other one, update it, and then come back. But I think they even fixed that to where I didn't have to do that in the future. Super cool. I thought we'd just talk about like some of our favorite cards or some of the favorite decks or moments we've had playing, just to kind of like tell everybody what they had. So what have you liked? What have you not liked? What have you been playing in the game? Because there's so many different types of decks. Like there's destroy decks and movement decks. And
that kind of build on different mechanics.
Yeah.
I kind of have four decks that I bounce between. Mm-hmm. It took me a long time before I even got to the point. Because like, I don't remember if you mentioned this or not, but like you don't have to pay anything. Like you could.
No, it's free to play.
You could spend a bunch of money and get all the cards.
Yeah.
Or you just play a decent amount.
You will eventually get them. Yeah.
So in the beginning, I was just literally playing with the cards that I had. Mm-hmm. I only had enough for one deck, and I was doing okay because it was probably pitting me against other people who were just getting started.
There's a pretty good ranking system to keep everybody.
And if you understand a little bit about card mechanics in games, then you can get it pretty good. But once I finally got to the point where like, I started putting together, like, these all have similarities. Mm-hmm. So like, all of these have actions that happen on the card reveal. Yeah. Oh, these happen all the time. And, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first ones I built was just like a reveal deck.
Yeah, on reveal effects. So there's two types of effects. I'll just slightly interrupt you. There's three. There's just neutral effects on some cards that like they don't say they're on reveal or ongoing. They just have that effect and there's nothing to turn those off. Then there are on reveal cards that Drew's talking about to where when the card is revealed, this effect happens. Mm-hmm. And there's ongoing cards that when you play them, not only does the effect happen there, but it happens continuously until that game is over or the card is removed or the effect is negated. And there are other cards that turn off those effects.
So, the first one I built was just a reveal deck. And I didn't really try to do anything other than if a card had reveal as its option, I slapped it together.
Yeah.
And then you get more and you can kind of hone it in. Mm-hmm. But like, then I built a chaos deck that I just picked all the random things.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, oh man, when this comes on, it disrupts everything. And the whole point was for there to be no plan.
Right.
And that one's fun sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
One of my most recent ones that I built is my destroy discard deck.
Yeah.
Because I finally got like into the ones because I was like, why would I want to destroy my own cards until you realize that there's ones that get bonuses from it. That one's playing really well right now.
Yeah.
And then
Destroy is still one of the strongest, I think, metas in the game right now.
And then I have a move deck that like just makes things move.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's cards that get like bonus points just because they move from one location to the other. And just to be clear, most cards, when you put them at a location to win, they're stuck there unless they have an ability to move or another card has an ability that moves them.
Yeah.
What's your like few favorite cards that you've really enjoyed so far?
Well, I like the synergy between... if I can get these four cards on one location, I pretty much guaranteed to win the game.
Which is a lot. So think about what he's doing. He's going to say some awesome combo, but you have six turns.
Yeah.
And the amount of energy you can spend mm-hmm. per turn is based on what turn it is. So if it's turn one, you have one energy. If it's turn three, you have three energy.
Yeah.
And all the cards have a different cost. So you really have to kind of pace out how you're doing that. And it's affected by the location and what your opponent's played at that location.
Well, this is one I kind of figured out, but Alex also talked me through it. And I realized it was already in my on reveal deck.
Yeah.
I'll just play whatever I can on turn one and two,
mm-hmm.
hoping that something happens to increase the energy on something so I can get a jump start. But
yeah,
turn three, I'll toss Ironheart out, which mm-hmm. will boost three of your other cards. Turn four, I toss Wong out. That just doubles your effects.
Mm-hmm.
On turn five, I try to play White Tiger, which will launch a seven power Tiger token. And then on turn six, I drop in Odin that re-triggers effects.
Yeah.
And then because Wong is there, everything ends up happening twice, meaning like Odin happens twice, which actually makes everything happen four times.
Right. So like, it's exponential.
Yeah. Like I just watched, what's it? I didn't think about Ironheart being so powerful until I just saw her. Boom.
Yeah.
Buff.
Everything.
And then White Tiger fill up all my other slots. So mm-hmm. it's just like, oh, and there was one time I had, this was just a fun one. It was ridiculous. I was on a location where it was like, I can't remember if it was ongoing gets doubled or on reveal gets mm-hmm. doubled,
so but I had that. Commertage or Onslaught Citadel.
And then I think I had Onslaught and then another Onslaught. And then I think I somehow copied an Onslaught and then like Odin that, or something like that.
Yeah.
And it ended up getting me like 1200 power
yeah,
at one something location.
Crazy. Yeah. There's some crazy combos that you can do with Onslaught and mm-hmm. Wong for sure. Like those are two. They it's funny. I'm like kind of obsessed with this game right now. So I'm in like all these little Facebook communities mm-hmm. and watching YouTube videos. And there's a lot of people who are like, oh, Wong is so broken. You need to nerf that card. But he's not. Despite like the potential combos, you still have to like draw the cards.
I haven't drawn Wong in like 3 days.
Yeah. Like, so, you know, you're going to see. So there's six turns. You start off with three in your hand and then you draw a card every turn. So you're every turn going to not see at least two of your cards. And just the RNG, for those that don't know what RNG is, random number generator, is how random things happen in chance in most video games. The RNG is against you pretty often. And there's for sure counters like, mm-hmm. you know, Cosmo the dog, which if you watch the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, you've seen in that.
Yeah.
Cosmo's effect turns off on reveal effects.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody plays a Wong and then you just sit a Cosmo down, which is only a three cost card, they're just done using Wong. Like it's canceled right away.
Mm-hmm.
Enchantress gets rid of ongoing effects, which Wong mm-hmm. is an ongoing effect. Ongoing, double the on reveal effects of your other cards at this location. So there's play, there's movement cards. One of my favorite cards in the game right now is called Arrow. She's a 5-cost, 8-power card that on reveal moves your opponent's card to the location you played her at. So if they play a Wong on one side and you know they're about to play mm-hmm. whatever awesome on reveal card, you just, and you have priority, you just move that card so that it doesn't trigger multiple times. You can just very easily disrupt them. So I feel like they've done a good job of like balancing the meta more or less. There are a few cards right now that are pretty strong that are kind of like meta defining. But that's what's really cool is like we're playing this game early enough that we are getting to see like a meta build around it. And like what is good? What are the counters to things? And there's still cards coming out. And again, the way they've structured the game, it's completely random at when you unlock cards. So theoretically, and it's probably not completely unique, but mostly everybody has a unique collection level based on like when they unlock cards and if they're willing to pay to get tokens to maybe get unlock things quicker, but it's still completely random. There's no like, okay, once you get to this level, you unlock this card for sure. It's some people will immediately get the very good cards, and some people will take them a while.
It's funny, like I've never paid a cent.
Yeah.
And I'm playing against all these people that are getting all these cards that I'm almost positive they had to spend like $30 for.
Right.
I'm just like, wow, okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool for them.
Yeah.
I'm just not that person.
Yeah. It's nice that they did a good job of just making it, you're not going to get destroyed just because you're not paying to win or to unlock stuff. Some of my favorite decks, let's see. So the Destroy one I played for a long time. There's a really cool combo you can do with Death, like Lady Death. She's a 9-cost, 12-power card. So if you remember, I said there's only 6 turns, and whatever turn you're on determines how much energy you have to play. So on turn 6, your biggest turn where you can play the most stuff, you still don't, on a normal game, have enough to play 9-cost cards, which is what Death is. So she's unique in that, but her ability says that this card costs 1 less for every card destroyed this game. So you spend the first several turns just destroying everything. Yeah. Like there's cards that blow up other cards and discard things.
And if one of the locations happens to be Death's Domain.
Oh, yeah. Like you snap in bed immediately.
I got to cast Death on like turn 4 for 0 one time.
Yeah. So a big combo with Death, there's like a popular destroy deck is called Death Wave. If you have Wave, Wave's ability, she's a 3-cost, 2-power, 3 or 2 or 3-3. But her ability sets the cost next turn of every card in both your hand and your opponent's hand to 4, which sets Death's cost to 4. Mm-hmm. And after her cost is set to 4, then the discounts roll in. Mm-hmm. So on turn 4, you can have a 0-cost Death. Another good combo with that is on turn 5, if you have Taskmaster, he's a 5-cost, so you can play him on turn 5, 0-power, but he copies the power of the last card you played. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of shenanigans you can do. After that, there's an Arnim Zola card where wherever he plays him, he destroys a random card at that location, but then he makes 2 copies of it at the other locations. So it's kind of like you can play heavy into one location and then move all your powerful stuff on the very last turn. So
maybe I have Arnim. I just know Arnim
is really good.
Maybe I need to sub him in to my destroy discard deck.
Yeah, he's probably the best with Black Panther.
I don't have Black Panther
he
yet.
He just entered the pool to, like, you'll be able to, like, potentially unlock him now at this point. I got him because I was, like, early on in the thing. But so Black Panther on reveal doubles his ability, or doubles his power. Mm-hmm. And that happens that can happen multiple times. So if you Wong Black Panther, then Arnim Zola destroys that Black Panther and turns it over. But the two that he copies over have the buff already. So it doubles them again. So you get, like, 32 power Black Panthers at 2 different locations. So really strong. There's a lot of fun combos. Another deck I'm playing right now is one that I copied from one of the really good players online. I just happen to have the cards that he was using. And it's like this is probably, if people, I don't want to say it's a broken card because there's for sure ways to play around it. But Leader is a very strong card. It is hard to counter. Probably the best counter against him is a pull 1 card, Devil Dinosaur, which gives you +2 power for every card in your hand. But Leader copies every card your opponent played that turn. So if you're ahead at 2 locations and you play Leader, very often you're just going to copy everything that they played. So you're still ahead because you put in the same amount that they did. The reason that Devil Dinosaur is so strong against Leader is because if you copy dinosaurs, your hand might not be as big as their hand is, so they can still get over you in that level. And it is risky because he's only a 4 power. He's not super strong. His ability is. So if they play something really big at the right location and you're not up, you still might not be enough to get over them. So a combo with that is Leech. Leech has become super popular. Leech on turn 5, you play him because he's a 5-cost, removes all the abilities in your opponent's hand. Leech has been around for a long time, but has not seen a lot of play until recently because of Leader. Everybody's like getting Leadered so much in their copy, but if you can remove that effect from him, Leader becomes a dud card in your hand. And you can very often take away like their big turn 6 plays. That's one of my main things. I like Arrow a lot. I like Leader. It's a really fun card. Magneto's really fun. Being able to move people's cards when they think they've got them down can be super effective. They're just like in a spot and you're like, oh, I'm going to move you over here. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna win. Anyway, what other things about Marvel Snap do we like? I like the collector aspect of it. So this is weird. I used to not understand or get like digital collector's items in games. I'm like, what am I? who cares if it, like, I have this skin in on this character or whatever. But for some reason, I'm like way into collecting the variant art for the cards. There's, like, it's a lot of fun.
There's a little
for
different
me.
There. Like, yeah. Like, if I get an 8-bit Jessica the pixel Jones, variants that, I'm going to slap it in there instead of the regular realistic one.
Because, well, I guess you're, the game is fun. I'm going to play no matter what. So, and everybody has these cards, more or less. You know, there's exceptions. But, like, being able to show some sort of variation or just show, yeah, I'm at this collection level, or I unlocked this thing, or I got lucky. I don't know. It's just a fun thing. And then they're pulling from, like, legit comic book artists. Like, there's just cool cards that they've pulled from art, from real things. Some that aren't in the game yet that I've seen, but they might be, and I just haven't unlocked them. But I haven't even played against somebody or seen somebody play them. Peach Momoko, that artist right there that did that variant cover. She has some really cool variants. And then there's the Art Germ variants. There's a whole bunch of stuff. The pixel ones that Drew was talking about are really cool. But yeah, I don't know. It's a really cool game. I highly recommend you check it out. It's probably better than Doom Scrolling.
Yeah. Oh, I think so.
And it's a very low commitment, right?
Yeah.
Like, now, they're quick.
I will say early on, when it's kind of at the beginning of every game, where, like, the checkpoints between, like, boosts and leveling up type stuff is so close together. Right. I would say in the beginning, if you're going to start playing, be prepared to kind of get sucked in and play it for an hour or more each time you sit down. But I play it less now.
Yeah.
It's just like I get in there, I look and I at the daily challenges and I see, is this something I can put together real quick?
Yep.
And also just you get bonuses every day that you check in.
Yeah. You unlock some free credits.
So, but it's fun. If you are listening to this when we reveal or when this episode is released and you're on some sort of break from work or whatever,
yeah,
be a good time
perfect
to check
time
it out.
To jump in, get a little bit ahead, unlock some of the key cards. They're much more generous. So the cards are broken into pools. It's still random at what order you get them, but I think by level like 540 something, which sounds like a lot, and it is to an extent, but it's not as unobtainable as you'd think. You'll have like all the pool one cards, and between five whatever and 1,000, you'll have all the pool two cards. Mm-hmm. Pool three is what I'm in right now, and I'm about halfway through it, and it's where they slow down at giving you cards, but you still get enough high level cards that you can build around that still make it fun. And that's part of the game. Like, you know, there's only 150-ish cards in the whole thing right now, so they can't do packs because you'd very quickly, you just get through everything. So they just started this week. They're adding one new card a week into the thing that you can randomly grab. I think Null is the card this week, which is pretty busted. He's a 6-cost, 0 power, but has the combined power of every card destroyed that game.
Oh, wow.
So if somebody plays, it's not just yours, it's all cards.
Yeah.
Somebody plays Galactus, or you get Lamentus that destroys your entire and your opponent's entire deck, like he's just suddenly just very big.
Too powerful.
Yeah, yeah. Right. So that one's released this week. Wow. Yeah. Some people got lucky and he was the next card they unlocked. Like it was released, they got a collector's chest and opened it, and Noel was in there. Any other thoughts on Marvel Snap?
No, it's fun. And one of the best things, unlike whenever I got into Magic and became obsessed and was spending like hundreds of dollars a month on new cards, I've been playing for a month or so and haven't spent a dime.
Yeah, and still having fun.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't think the game would work like Magic in that, like you could have a live action version of it.
Yeah.
Because the unique thing is that you both play your cards at the same time.
Yeah.
And there's like immediate interactions and there's a lot of math. It would just slow down
and the
so
fact that
much.
The locations are different.
Right. Random location generation. There might be able to be like a variation of the game where you play several matches at the same locations. I don't know. It would be weird, but it's fast paced. It's like some of the appeal. Like it's, it's a quick hit, little fun thing you can do that's not scrolling through the doom
make it through
of the world
a couple games while you're on the John.
This is funny. There are like, so you unlock a bunch of different things. You can unlock avatars, you can unlock different card variants and new cards, but one of the things you can do are like little subtitles that go underneath your name when you match somebody, and I've unlocked a handful of them. My favorite one that I use is I am on the toilet right now, so everybody that plays me sees that and they have to wonder, is he really on the toilet?
Yeah, I've never made it to the point where I get those.
Yeah, I think it happens in level the series three cards, which are past level 1,000. And I'm only ahead of so many people that I play with because I did the beta thing and I was playing like several months ahead of everybody. Mm-hmm. They like nerfed. So they're still like kind of fine tuning the cards. There were a ton of cards that were like actually broken when it first came out. They were just like way too powerful. Nova used to give +2 to everything once he exploded. Nova's still a very, very used card. His whole thing is like you put him out there for cheap and then you blow him up. You either eat him with Carnage or Venom or kill him with Killmonger or there's some other destroy cards. But you want to wait to do that because he gives +1 to every card on the board for you.
Yeah.
So before they nerfed him, it was +2 to every card before you, and he was stronger than he is now. He was like a 1-3 or something. So he was more power temporarily and gave even more power. Another one they nerfed. Do you have Nakia?
Yeah.
Yeah. She used to give +2 to every card in your hand, not just the left two. I think Okoye might have also been nerfed,
too. I think that's an interesting thing because when I have Nakia, I'm like, oh, this would be cool, but I need to play that card so that she buffs these two, you know, instead of just getting them on all of them.
Yeah, there's a few others. Mr. Negative is a lot of fun.
I don't have him.
He was very broken, and some people think he still is. He's a 4-cost. He's a -1 power. But he inverts the power and cost of every card in your deck.
Oh, wow.
So what you do is you hope that you get him on turn 4, and if you have a Psylocke that gives you 1 extra energy, you can play him on turn 3. Mm-hmm. And then it inverts a bunch of 6-cost, 0-power cards in your hand. So something like Iron Man, who is a 5-cost, 0, and doubles the power of everything at the location, becomes a 0-cost, 5. So he just is a 0-10 right away.
Yeah.
Or Ironheart is free. Or a bunch of like cards that are like 3-1 are now 1-3s and great effects. So like you can kind of, the goal is to like Mr. Negative on turn 4. It usually takes some time. So you want a magic on turn 5 to get an extra turn. And then you Sarah, I'm like giving everybody all my secrets right now. Sarah on turn 6, and she makes everything in your hand cost 1 less, and then you just play a ton of stuff on turn 7. It's called the Sarah Miracle deck because it's like you're losing. I play 5 cards that are all great because they're inverted. It's kind of hard to set up. You imagine you have to draw everything in a good sequence, and again, there's only 7 or 6 turns in a game, 7 if you play Magic and get lucky, or if Limbo just pops up randomly. Yeah. Anyway, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of cool strategies that we had, but it's super, in my opinion, it's super accessible for most people. Like, you don't have to do the math. It does it for you. And it's just cool to, like, see the lore behind the cards. Like, they thought about that. Like, for instance, Mr. Fantastic is a 3-cost, 2-power card, but because he can stretch, he reaches over to the other two locations and gives them +2 as well.
Yeah.
What's another, like, lore cool card? Killmonger kills all 1-cost cards in the game.
Yeah.
Black Widow shoots, you know, that like laser electric thing she has? She shoots one of those into your opponent's hand, and as long as that's in their hand, they can't draw a card. So it kind of paralyzes them, right? Like they advance, and they have to play that and waste board space, or they can't draw any more cards.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, there's just lore accurate stuff. And then also, like, it's a big deal because you can only play 4 cards at every location. We didn't mention that earlier. Yeah, I could go on, probably do a whole episode about Marvel Snap, but I won't because I might love it more than everybody.
Well, if you're listening and you'd like to hear more, join the Discord and chat with Alex.
We need to get a Marvel Snap channel going and post-strategize. Yeah. Cool. Play Marvel Snap. I think we're going to take a quick break to get a drink of water, and we will be right back to do Alex and Drew Rank the MCU Age of Ultron edition. Be right back. And we're back, and we're ready for Alex and Drew Rank the MCU. I will say, during the break, I read the comic that Drew got me, and guys, I'm not kidding. It is truly awesome. We might find a way to put that on the Patreon or somewhere later. We'll get back to that in details, but it's awesome. It's hilarious in the best way. It's legitimately good. Like, I'm not kidding. I was entertained reading the entire time.
It means a lot.
very, very fun. I need more. I need it was several volumes.
The same part of my brain that likes to make videos.
Yeah.
Was just like, this is a movie, but I don't have to film anything. Like,
yeah.
I come up with an idea, like, oh, it'd be cool if we could have a close up of the drum drones,
right?
Or the sleepy time hankies, you know? And just like just a nice close up. I was trying to picture
the things you named were hilarious
from a so good. Cinematic standpoint.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just like, you know, this is okay. Like, I was telling Alex, my hand hurts from all the work with the Apple Pencil over the last week. But I don't know. I think.
Hey, you worked way harder on my gift than I did on yours.
It's just because I had an idea, like, driving back home from Florida, I was just like, what if I made a comic?
Yeah.
And it's something I've always wanted to do.
Sure.
And then
now
I found.
You can say you've done it.
So, yeah, I found the app that I could use, and I was just like, okay. Chance to learn this program and do a few things, and then who knows, maybe it'll be. But yeah, we were talking about potentially trying to maybe print up a short run of it so that, like, if you join the Patreon, you get it.
It could be a limited run exclusive Patreon thing, so we'll look at that. It's seriously cool. Yeah. If you think we're funny at all, which obviously you do, you would have a good time.
Just imagine how hilarious it'd be. If we were working on it together,
as opposed
to me just like sitting there trying to make myself laugh as I'm tracing all these images.
I'm excited to get some people to do some variant covers.
Yeah. I have a few people I was thinking of actually.
Yeah. It'd be cool. All right. Alex and Drew Rank the MCU, where we go through and watch and rank the entirety of the MCU from its inception to today and moving forward in the future has been so much fun, and we're almost to the end of phase two, and today we are going to discuss Avengers Age of Ultron, which, believe it or not, came out in 2015. It's an 8-year-old movie at this point.
Yeah.
Makes me feel old. So before this, we have just, the previous two films were Captain America and the Winter Soldier and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1, which were, I believe, sitting first and second place.
Yeah.
Not respectively on the list as we have them right now.
Mm-hmm.
You have Guardians first.
Yes.
Guardians first, then Captain America. That's the same that I have for version two. So I was very curious how an Avengers film, the second Avengers film, the first one was such a smash hit success. And, you know, it's seldom that we get all these heroes back. You know, people were kind of wondering, are they going to do it again? And then the announcement of James Spader as Ultron, the villain, spoiler, loved his interpretation of the character and how he does it. I just a huge James Spader fan in general.
Also picturing Robert California.
Yes.
From The Office. From
he's also my favorite Office character. It's a controversial take. What did you think of this one?
That was good. I remember going in thinking, I don't quite remember it.
So this is, a lot of people do not care for this. Yeah. Like, it, most people think the weakest Avenger film.
Yeah. And that might end up being true.
Yeah, I think it might be.
But it's not like end of the list.
No. It's definitely not anywhere near last place. So I gave this for a ranking, just a gut ranking, an 8.5.
Yeah, you were nicer than I was.
Which is a little, I think you were the Simon for this film.
My gut ranking was a 7.75.
Yeah, so not so far away from me.
You know, but considering that Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Guardians both had 9+.
Uh-huh.
I was just like, those were just like good, fun, like exciting. I was never questioning the pacing.
Yeah.
But there were moments during Ultron that I was just like, it's good. But I found myself, like, my attention drifting.
Sure.
Which, like, automatically told me it's not an A.
Right.
Maybe not even a B. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's where it
so
got
there's,
7.75.
I think I also... I'm such a Robert Downey Jr. fanboy and just an Iron Man guy that I like all this Iron Man stuff you're doing for me. The action's solid. There's some fun moments, like with the shots where they all sync up in that one cross thing in the opening scene. And there's another, like, pretty big epic slow motion thing at the end. Where this falls and stumbles a bit is like in the mid second act.
Yeah.
It kind of, I think they got to a point where they were like, okay, if we include all this, this film's going to be 3.5 hours long, so we got to cut something. But there's this sequence of, like, so we see Wanda and Pietro actually in a film for the first time and not just the post-credits scene like we saw them at the end of Captain America and the Winter Soldier. And they're villains for the bulk of this film, and Wanda kind of messes with everybody's heads using her reality magic that she got from the Mind Stone. And they kind of go through this weird thing where they get beat pretty bad. Everybody's mostly down for the count except for Iron Man. And Thor had like a vision, wink, wink, that he couldn't quite quantify what it was. And then he has to leave to like go see this
vision pool,
like a hot spring, and sit in it. And we don't really know where he's at and know why he has to go sit in this water. There's no just explanation of that. So it gets a little long-winded in that section, I think, and you just kind of like have to headcanon a little bit, like, oh, I guess he had to go here to have this vision for some reason.
Yeah, because I guess I wonder if there was anybody who was like, okay, look, this whole Marvel Cinematic Universe thing is still forming. Some, like, I didn't know it existed until Civil War, really, and I'm a comic book nerd, so I wonder if any of them were just like, how many people didn't go and watch Guardians? They have no idea what the deal was, the Infinity Stones. So we need to have an explainer.
Right.
So let's just have Thor
go. Because we definitely get more context in the Infinity Stones for sure. Like, and they, I personally really like how they've implemented those. Like, they're responsible for so much.
Yeah.
They've kind of been in a form in all the films since Captain America, I think, is the first time we saw. Or did we see the Tesseract in Thor 1?
I think so. Maybe.
I can't remember if we did or not. But either way, they've definitely made them more responsible. You know, like Wanda and Pietro are mutants in the comics. I think at this point, the reason they didn't do mutants is obvious. Fox still owned the rights to those characters. The reason that there was like a crossover is because they're also Avengers in the comics, and Fox did not own the rights to the Avengers. So they can't call them mutants. They can keep the same powers, and they just kind of didn't do their Magneto's kids, which they
could have done Wolverine if that's the case. Like, just about everybody's been an Avenger at some point. So
it's
like
weird.
A gray area.
Yeah. It's weird because they also like, so in the comics for the longest time, Magneto is the father of Wanda and Pietro.
Yeah.
And I fully believe they retconned that because they didn't have the rights to the characters.
Mm.
So they were like, oh, we're just going to change this, that they got their powers from something else. And they still have not gone back and done that. I mean, so
they made it sound like it was from this laboratory, you know?
Yeah, but so in the MCU, those characters got their powers from the Mind Stone.
Yeah.
Super interesting, which also so does Vision in this, which is a different, you know, they're MCU-ifying some of the things, which I'm fine with. They've done a good job kind of in this universe. This is how things happened. But yeah, it starts well off enough. Like they get the scepter back that has a Mind Stone in it from the bad guys, and they're going along, and Ultron gets created, and all this stuff is happening. There are some strong moments. Again, James Spader kills it as Ultron. There's a lot of cool, you know, this thing that Tony tried to create based on some of the traumas he's had from other things, putting a suit of armor around the world, end up being a bad thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's based off of his own, like, psyche and his own thoughts, but just an off interpretation of that when it's mixed with Jarvis and Banner and some other artificial intelligence. So there's cool stuff. There's a lot of strong character development in this one. We get to see the relationship with Nat and Banner. We get to see the I don't know if immediate, like it's the very first instance of like some differences between Cap and Tony, but definitely like butting heads quite a bit more, and which we know eventually leads to a civil war of them. Like, okay, there's a first few instances of us not getting along, even if it wasn't truly the first. There were some butting heads in Avengers 1 as well.
Yeah.
There's good moments. Paul Bettany introduces Vision. How lucky are they that that worked out, right?
Yeah.
The guy voicing Jarvis, they're like, oh, let's just implement Jarvis into Ultron and then have Ultron create Vision with the Mind Stone and then have Paul Bettany, who voiced Jarvis, play Vision. It's great. It's so awesome. It adds some like stability and some weight to the powers that are given them coming from Infinity Stones. Love the interpretation of that. Love the... there's sort of like there's a lot, this is true of many stories, like biblical references of like a chosen one and the, you know, Vision being that thing, this imperfect thing that comes to save everybody or whatever. But there's some cool dialogue at the end between the final remaining Ultron and Vision, talking about humanity, and there's, you know, there's error in their ways, but, you know, like, a thing isn't good because it lasts, I think, is one of the iconic lines from that film. Or a thing isn't beautiful because it lasts. It's good, and I think that's the appropriate slot to put it in. Mm-hmm. It's not great.
Yeah.
It's not like, holy smack, yeah, what did we just watch? I need that again in my face immediately.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? I've said a whole lot.
I mean, yeah, it was good. In some ways better than I remembered, in some ways not as strong as I remembered.
Yeah.
I told Alex after we finished watching it that I felt like there were pacing issues, kind of like you were saying, in
sure,
the middle, where mm-hmm, like there was a nice slow build at the beginning, as I recall.
Yep.
And then the middle is just like, oh crap, we drug our feet too long.
Sure.
We got to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And then so that we can set up Sokovia, you know? And,
yes.
But it was all right. And I think something makes me think that I've seen Age of Ultron more than many of these other ones.
Because
uh-huh, that might have been another reason that my attention was like drifting, because I remembered most of this one.
Right.
I don't know why that is.
Yeah.
But
how it stuck, you know, in your head.
I mean, I loved the digging into the hammer stuff. You know, mm-hmm, them just palling around trying to lift it. And
yeah, I mean, let's talk about continuity there. Like,
you see that it looks like it moves just a little bit when Captain picks it up and Thor gets scared. And then without even a question, Vision just picks it up and everybody's just like, whoa.
And that's how they trust him.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, like, he's worthy.
So
this is controversial. A little sidebar about Chris or Captain America moving the hammer in that scene. So when that happened, the whole audience, right, when you're there, yeah, opening eye, oh, did you see, yeah, that? Did you see it? You blink, you missed it. Yeah. He kind of moved it, and there's this look on Thor's face of like, Thor saw it.
Yeah.
And obviously there's payoff for that, and we'll save that for when we get to Endgame eventually. The writers, this is controversial, have gone back, and I guess this is like, is this truly a retcon if they say something that was something, oh yeah, this is what we meant when we made that moment. I don't know, headcanning, retcons type of thing, but they say, the writers of these films, that he was in that moment worthy, and that he felt that he was about to pick it up, and he stopped himself.
He hedged his bets
yeah, to just like,
to keep
this peace. Is not something I need to, yeah, prove to anybody, but he didn't quite do it.
Yeah, so if anybody should be worthy, it's Cap.
Right.
And yeah, I think he also has a head on his shoulders to where he's just like, yeah, I could lift this. And he feels it move and just like instantly just like, oh, but
yeah,
we don't need that right now.
Yeah, that's not a path we need to walk. Some people get really mad about that though. So J.K. Rowling, she's done that a lot with the Harry Potter universe, mm-hmm, right? Just like going back and like, oh, this is what I meant by this thing, even though there's, yeah, basically no evidence to support this movie. I mean, maybe not no evidence, but it's just, I guess it is maybe easy for a writer to go back and like, maybe they hear somebody like, oh, that's a pretty good idea. Yeah, that's what I meant, mm-hmm, when that happened. So people do, I think there's two camps and people fall into like, oh, that cheapens. Yeah. Stop it. You didn't mean that. You just like the idea after the, yeah, fact. But I kind of do enjoy that moment of like, mm-hmm, the lore, the character development of he in that moment made a decision not to lift it, and it gets paid off later.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, also letting Vision lift it. Mm-hmm. Then there's some funny back and forth at the end of the film of, is an elevator worthy if you, yeah, sit it down in an elevator and it goes up?
It's a machine.
You know? Yeah. Yeah, so there's some fun stuff.
Here, I was going to ask.
Go ahead.
What are your lowest three individual scores and highest three individual scores?
Okay, lowest three. Let's see. I have a 7.2 on representation, and that might be generous. There's, you know, when we're looking at representation, it's not just like, are people technically shown on screen in the film, you know, like, mm-hmm, we're looking for like juicy, good roles, you know, like the Black Panther nailed it, you, mm-hmm, know, Eternals very strong. Like, mm-hmm, there's a lot of stuff that they're not just, you know, straight white dudes, which have historically been the guys on screen that get all the camera time, but you know, it's okay. There's some moments like, you know, people of color in there, women roles, whatever, but it's just not strong. So maybe that's a little strong, but I'm trying to stay consistent with where I've ranked everything. So I think it still falls within an appropriate ranking overall. Let's see. I give a 7.5 for comedy. I think I laughed. This is the hardest one for maybe for me to score. I know all the jokes. Mm-hmm. I've seen them all. So yeah. I can't like very few of them just make me laugh again. So I have to kind of like rely on, okay, how long has this joke stood the test of time? Is it still kind of like I'll giggle or I'll chuckle? Or can I just remember the first time I heard it and I'm like,
yeah,
really laughing? So there's some funny moments, but definitely not as funny as, mm-hmm. you know, Guardians or some of the other ones. Some of the Iron Man films or even the first Avenger. Those are my two low ones. I was really pretty generous on this film.
My lowest representation,
yeah,
color and comedy.
Yeah, the color was
just flat.
Was flat again. I'm still in this ballpark. The meanest I've been on color so far is for for The Incredible Hulk. I gave it a 5.
Well, I gave this a 4.
I definitely didn't think it was worse than that. But again.
I mean, I had a 4 for Hulk also.
Okay,
like,
gotcha.
I was just watching and I was just like, there's no reason for all of this to be so boring looking.
Yeah. They did, I thought, some interesting enough things when they were all having the flashbacks when she first got in their heads. Like, that definitely was flatter than the full length of the film.
I'm just thinking back, like, any scene.
Yeah.
You look at it and I'm just like, they just dialed the saturation down. And yeah. I'm sure it was a choice, but
yeah, it's just a creative choice. Now, it also doesn't help this film that it came right after Guardians, which has my highest color score so far. It was like very rich, vibrant, but slightly desaturated colors. And like the contrast was very strong. And it just adds a mood mm-hmm. to that entire film. And I think it just landed very well. So one of my highest scores was the CGI. Can we talk about the Hulkbuster?
Yeah.
Veronica Hulk fight, like how epic that was.
CGI was one of my highest also.
Yeah. So for those that don't remember, this is the first time we see the Hulkbuster, which is like one of the iconic Iron Man suits in the film, obviously a big Iron Man fanboy. But they did it in a clever way in that there's some like kind of, if you blink or if you're not paying attention, you'll miss the back and forth when Banner and Stark are trying to think about, are we going to make Ultron or not? And Tony is like, talking about how this can be the end game. You know, you could be on a beach resting and not looking kind of over like, your shoulder for Veronica.
Like in She-Hulk.
We're like, who's Veronica?
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, don't forget I helped build Veronica. And Tony's like, yeah, as a last resort, you know? So we're like, okay, who's Veronica? And then we get later when Tony's the last man standing during this fight in the second or late first act, I guess. He says, I'm calling in Veronica, and this awesome thing in space opens up and these orbs start shooting out. And it's this, they have this whole, this Iron Man suit set up specifically to combat for this exact scenario. Like if everybody's gone and it's just Tony, not only did he help make it, but Banner said, like, yeah, these are some of the things that might, you know, keep me at bay. And it's just this awesome fight sequence. It's all in CGI, but somehow there's like all this great texture, like the metal is worn and it looks like it's been tested and like Hulk's, like the whole thing is CGI, right? They're flying through the air. They're flying through buildings. He's like, the funny part, he's like, Jarvis, how quickly can we buy this building before we fly through it? Very strong moment. And I think it's probably easily the biggest usage of that suit in the entirety MCU. We see it again with Banner in it in Infinity War, but he doesn't know how to fly it like Tony does.
Yeah. I also had continuity, and then kind of on the same token, fan service, end credit scene, all that stuff. I had those also high, just because of the continuity it did. It brought the Infinity Stone conversation to Earth.
Yep.
And, you know, and then Thanos at the end.
We get twins. We get a lot of characters introduced officially. Vision, Ultron, the twins, Claw. We get the mention of Wakanda and Vibranium, and like Vibranium's in this film. Like Ultron, that's another thing. Vision is made of partially Vibranium. I always forget about that. All of that before even whispers of a Black Panther film. You know, this is like 3 or so years before that film came out.
I mean, Bruce Banner doesn't even know how to pronounce Wakanda.
Yeah, Wakanada, I think he says. Yeah. One of my higher scores also, I've talked about this a little bit, is character development. Mainly just knowing the developments between Stark and his relationships with the rest of the crew and the relationship between Banner and Natasha and just some other things. You know, we learn more. Mm-hmm. We get a whole backstory of Clint Barton finally. You know, he's kind of been this guy off to the side, and now we're at his home, and he's got a wife and kids. And
yeah,
there's some good character development moments throughout. But yeah, it's solid. It's good. It's not good. The best. Where do you have it overall?
It's sitting fifth for me. So like currently I've got Guardians.
Same.
Number one. Winter Soldier. Number two.
Same.
Avengers 3.
Same.
Iron Man 2. Next.
So I actually have Ultron right there.
Yeah. And then Ultron.
And 4. For me. And then I have Iron Man 3 where you have Ultron. And then I have Iron Man 2. So our scores are similar things, but they're in the ballpark ranges with each other. When we're done with this, Drew and I are going to average out our scores and we'll have like the definitive two-man ranking. I imagine some things will shift at that point. There's some other things that we have on our list right now, but we're not saying them. Like there's actually one other film, which will not be named, sitting overall in first because we did like a calibration thing at the beginning of the year with one of the films. But of the ones in order that we've watched, Guardians is sitting more or less comfortably in first.
Now, because I don't think we actually said score. If we did, like my score for Ultron is a 71, which
way lower than mine.
It's a lot lower, but it's still in that same place. Like we said, I think I'm using less of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. But I think also that fifth place at a 71 is going to be a lot less impressive once we get farther down, because there's going to be a lot
of good films coming
in the 90s. So even though it's sitting in fifth right now, it's we're not even through phase two.
Yeah, it might be in your bottom half of MCU films.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. Mine's at an 83.2, which is, you know, my lowest score is a 49.6. So my highest score, Guardians, what is that at? That's not right. Oh, no, yeah, it is.
I've got Guardians at a 92.
I have Guardians an 88.15. Mm-hmm. So between 49 and 88, you know, I'm trying to use as much as I can of the thing to not box myself in later. It's getting difficult. One thing I think I did wrong that I can't really change right now is that I did not use enough decimals early on in the rankings to kind of separate out some of these. So there's a lot of just like eights and eight and a halves in the earlier stuff. And now I'm getting into 8.2 for this.
7. I started using decimals right in the beginning, but it was like 0.5s.
Yeah, now I was just doing 0.5 intervals.
0.25.
Right.
0.2.
Hundreds and thousands of decimals. We'll refine it. But I still think that even if we were to go back and like add little nudges here and there, left or right, that more or less this is going to end up being in the same ballpark for us as far as like where we our individual rankings go. Any thoughts before we wrap up this section?
No, just Ant-Man's next. I'm excited for that one.
Ant-Man and the End of Phase 2. I'm curious about that one.
It's been a while since I've thought about it.
It's been a while.
I remember liking it a whole lot.
Yeah. I liked it. It's fun. See. It's for sure, like, if we're talking about MCU subgenres, it's a comedy, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, I've had really all of them. So, Phase 2 is Iron Man 3. Dark and moody and serious. Thor Dark World, same thing. Captain America Winter Soldier, yes. Mm-hmm. Guardians, yes. Ultron, yes. And then kind of lighthearted, a little more grounded because we're introducing a new character.
Yeah.
But also Paul Rudd, man, he's great. Yeah. Look at us. Would you just look at us? Yeah. That's it for Alex and Drew Rank the MCU this week. Please get links in the description and check out the sheet for yourself. Make a copy, put them in there, rank everything out of 10. You can use decimals and share your rankings with us. We are truly curious if we are just crazy. We're pretty close on a lot of things, and we want to know what you guys think as well.
So don't forget, get a comic book for somebody for the holidays. And we're not sure what we're going to cover next. We were going to do that. Nice House on the Lake. It's really great if you like kind of a...
Definitely not a superhero film, even though it is a DC or superhero comic, rather.
But it's good. So we're going to figure out what we're going to read next. We'll be back with that. I think we got one more that will be released in the year 2022.
Is that right?
Well, I think, or else I'm counting wrong. And then we'll be back in 2023 for all kinds of awesome comics. Let us join the Discord. Let us know what you want us to read. Let us join the Discord and just let us know if you're listening again.
Yeah. It's kind of crickets in there right now. We had something going on and then we ruined it by stopping. But we're still in there. We're still posting stuff. We're trying to be a little more active on social media when the episodes come out.
Jump on the Discord and check out the cover from the issue one of The Adventures of Captain 166 and Nostradamus.
Yeah, like awesome Christmas gift. Like, subscribe, do all the stuff. Follow us on our social media accounts, both individually. Mine is at Alex Wayne Miller on all social media. Wayne is W-A-Y-N-E, just like Bruce Wayne, because I am Batman. Drew, where can they find
Captain 166.
Ah, yes. They don't know that.
Oh.
It's not obvious. Okay, by the arc.
It's not obvious. But you can find ways to reach out to me and see what I'm getting up to at drewmorrismusic.com.
Yep. Leave a review for the podcast. Share it with a friend. Share it with an enemy. And we'll see you next time on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast. Bye.
I hit that a little late.
It's all right.
I forgot I had a job.
How many of you stick around to the post credits? Wink, wink. Might be something good at the end of this one.
Is your stomach growling?
I mean, it's about lunchtime, isn't it?
That was an actual thing for the tag. Tune in next week when we'll be reading Hypno-Man Resurrections 1-3. Just kidding. That's not real.
Two-Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.
I have this kale pasta meal that I love.
Yeah.
It's just bow tie pasta. Like you dice up some, or just cut however you want, some onions and celery. Mm-hmm. Cook it in olive oil with salt and pepper. Yeah. Once that's done, you set it aside. Saute some kale with a little bit of garlic, like fresh garlic if you can, and olive oil, mm-hmm. salt and pepper. Set that aside. Meanwhile, you're boiling bow tie pasta. That's what we like. And then I always get it with tofurkey sausage. Cut that into... Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just use the whole bag.
Right.
And then you combine all that together with some balsamic vinegar.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
You should put that as the tag, the whole recipe.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll be good. You can mark wherever it is.